From downtown Milwaukee, welcome to Money Talk with Bob Landis. Each week, professional advisors from Landis & Company Investments discuss the latest financial developments, offering timely insight and long-term perspective.
This is Money Talk from September 27th, 2019. Just a heads up, this is the last weekend for Oktoberfest at a number of places, including the Bavarian Beer House in Glendale. This Wednesday at the Pabst Theater, it's a tribute to the Beatles' White Album featuring Todd Rundgren, Christopher Cross, Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees, and Jason Scheff of the band Chicago. And the playoff-bound Milwaukee Brewers are wrapping up the regular season this weekend in Colorado with the Rockies. Speaking of Colorado, 2 days before his wedding, the groom and his buddies planned to drink Colorado dry. Well, they didn't, but the groom did have to leave the rehearsal dinner and check into the ER. The doctors pumped his stomach, rehydrated him, and sent him off just in time to make it to the wedding. So he got married with a clean liver, a hospital bill of $12,500, which was twice what he spent on the wedding. I'm thinking the bride is rethinking this for better or worse part. And finally, someone stole an air conditioning unit from a church in Ohio. But instead of pressing charges, the church posted this message on their outdoor sign. To the thief who stole our AC unit, keep it. It's hot where you're going. In the studio today, we have Dave Sandstrom, Steve Giles, Tom Papenfuss, Joel Dreesank, and wrapping up the week, here's Bob Landis.
Thanks, Max. Well, we gave up a couple of nickels this week. NASDAQ lost 2.2%, shedding 178 points. The close at 79.40. Broader markets, the S&P 500 down 1%, losing 30 points to close at 29.62. Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 115 points this week, a 0.4% decline. We closed with the bell this afternoon in New York with the Dow finishing the week 26,820. Give or take, we're about 500 points below the all-time high that we set in late July. Year to date, what a great year. NASDAQ up a stellar 20.6%, S&P up 19.9%, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 17.1%. Steve, let me start with you. You know, the market sold off today after the news that the Trump administration is looking at trying to delist Chinese companies that trade on the big board in New York, aside from the fact that nobody's really sure how that's even possible. The administration doesn't control the big board, let alone how they list. But Chinese stocks like Alibaba took a pretty good hit today in New York, on that news. Steve, as you're aware, the Trump administration is going to reengage the Chinese big meeting that they're going to have next month. So what's your take on that?
Well, Bob, certainly the trade fight that's been ongoing with China has contributed to some global economic slowdown, and is starting to spill over into the U.S. Obviously, delisting Chinese stocks only adds to the uncertainty. The Fed, even though they've been lowering rates, we haven't seen the effects that might have as we finish out the year due to that increased uncertainty with now an added layer to the trade talks and delisting Chinese stocks.
You know, the 800-pound gorilla in the room that we got to acknowledge is the impeachment proceedings. It took a kind of a life of their own this week with the release of the whistleblower's remarks and the testimony in front of Congress. You know, Steve, I've read that think that, you know, one of two things could happen here. Either the Trump administration doubles down on the trade war to try to get a victory, or they're going to get so mixed up in the impeachment proceedings that they'll ignore the trade issues. We had the news this morning that they're trying to delist Chinese companies that trade on the big board in New York. It looks like to me he's heading towards doubling down on the trade conflict. So that's maybe not such good news.
Yeah, it's really hard based upon history, Bob. As you know, the market sold off during Nixon's impeachment. They didn't really do anything during Clinton's impeachment. So who's to know what's going to happen this time around?
Well, we do know it's all about interest rates and earnings. You know, the sad part of this is what you want Congress to do is focus on legislation, trying to make this a better country to live in, and getting sidetracked on the impeachment means that they're going to take their eye off the ball for a while. You know, Dave, let's talk about consumer confidence numbers. I'll have Joel give us the official numbers here in a minute. But, you know, you and I both know, Dave, that 70% of our economy is driven by consumer spending. So it's kind of upsetting to see the consumer spending numbers weaken in August. We've kind of viewed that as one of the pillars of economic strength here in the United States, with so much of the economy being fueled by consumer spending. A little bit disappointing to see that sell off.
You know, Bob, you've mentioned many times that the part of the reason it's so difficult to predict recessions is you're trying to figure out the collective psyche of the American consumer, which can be a pretty fickle thing to try to judge. So I was a little bit glad to see this week, as we were looking for some good news, is see oil prices kind of calm down, and crude dropped about 4% this week. And the reason I bring that up is
a big number.
Yeah, and the reason I bring that up is the last five recessions were all preceded by a significant spike in oil prices. Not to say that it caused the recession, but it I think is one of those things that contributes to the psyche of the American consumer turning sour. And I thought it was very interesting to see, given the recent events in Saudi Arabia with the attack on some of the oil refineries, that we didn't see a major reaction in the global crude market. And I think it points to the fact that the fracking industry in the United States has given us a fairly decent insurance policy against that going forward. So from a silver lining standpoint this week, it was good to see crude settle down a little bit in light of the fact that we are seeing a little bit of a downturn in that consumer confidence number.
And ultimately maybe that'll help. So, Joel, you know, to you, personal spending and consumer confidence both came in lower than expected this week.
That's right, Bob. And we also had the confirmation of the GDP numbers, the gross domestic product. And that's where we see that consumer spending. And it was relatively strong in the second quarter. It was the strongest quarter. It was up 4.6% on an annual basis. And that was the strongest quarter since the fourth quarter of 2017. But we're starting to see that weaken a little, perhaps. You know, again, it's hard to tell from, you know, one-month reports, but today we had personal spending numbers that use a lot of the same data that the GDP uses, and that showed that came in under expectations, as you said, and it was weaker than the analysts were expecting. And then we also had some consumer sentiment numbers from a survey that's done through the University of Michigan. They've been doing it for years and years, and they actually found consumer sentiment stronger in September than it was in August, but the economist who's been following this for years and years said that they see some things within consumer confidence, consumer sentiment, that suggests that maybe, you know, it's at a fragile point. Specifically, he talked about how partisanship, concerns about partisanship, and, you know, that might, these surveys were done before the developments this week with impeachment, so that might come into play, but also things that we've talked about, global economy, trade policies, those are things that are concerning consumers, and at some point they might overcome the good feelings that consumers have had about their personal finances, because wages are going up, employment conditions are good, so those were reasons why, you know, consumers have been confident, and we want them confident because that's when they're going to be spending that money.
I mean, if there's any good news in any of those reports that came out this week, personal spending showed that people are saving a little bit more money.
That's right. Yeah, if you know, because we saw in August that that incomes were going up, but that spending wasn't going up as much as the incomes. So, you know, the balances that they save it. So hopefully they're setting that aside and they're going to spend it later. And to emphasize the point on consumer spending is the GDP numbers showed that of the major, you know, things driving our economy, consumer spending and government spending were the ones that were really up. Housing, spending on housing was down for the sixth quarter in a row, so that's not looking so good, except we did have some news this week that suggests maybe, you know, that's going to start picking up again with low mortgage rates. And the other thing was business spending, which, you know, we've talked about before. That was the first quarter that business spending actually went down for quite a few quarters.
I think I've been encouraged by, you know, even in spite of some of those more lackluster numbers, but when you look at you know, the households in the U.S. Debt service ratios are as good as they've ever been. Household net worth is as good as it's ever been. So, you know, when we constantly have those conversations with our clients about worried about recessions, the consumer's on a pretty good footing, you know, more so than they were during our last recession.
Tom, you and I were talking just a little bit ago about how the market seems to be rotating somewhat. Growth stocks have been on fire now for 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, and 10 year lookbacks. Value stocks are starting to come back though a little bit.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, there has been a shift, and albeit we don't know if it's temporary or going to be sustained or not. But just doing some digging into, you know, over the past year and looking at the different sectors and how they performed. There's one very apparent trend is that there really is no trend. It's we've had different leadership of different sectors pretty much across the board, whether it's information technology, consumer staples, energy, utilities. It's just really a mixed bag, and that just, you know, is evidence of the heightened uncertainty. So, you know, I think what that tells to me and what I kind of remind people of is that now more than ever, we've talked about it before, is investing in the rearview mirror. You can't really look at what has done, you know, well in the past and continue to put money there, you know, let's say more of a momentum play than anything. And I think in the past it kind of has worked. You could be late to the game and still make returns because those are such strong plays. But I think now more than ever it is important to be diligent, diversified, and to start to look at some of those value and really sound fundamental type of companies out there.
Well, you know, the example that I've been using with folks is We Energies doesn't care about what's going on in China. So a lot of the value funds buy utilities that are immune really to what's going on overseas. They buy regional banks that are immune to what's going on overseas. They buy telecoms that could care less about what's going on in Asia. Property casualty insurance companies, similar point, that are kind of isolated from the problems in China and then broader Europe and Asia. The thing, Tom, that I've always been impressed with value stocks is how well they hold up in a market decline. I mean, all boats go down in lower tide, as they say. Growth stocks sink like rocks when the markets go down. Value funds, they'll go down, but nowhere near what growth stocks will. And I look at the performance difference of some of the value funds just off a couple of percent compared to what some of the core funds are doing. And for my money, I'd rather have better downside at a point in time when the markets are facing a fair amount of uncertainty.
Yeah, it's also nice to see that we're seeing greater market breadth right now. So a lot of different, it's not just the FANGs and a few of the companies with large market capitalizations leading the way. We're seeing some of the, again, the companies with good financials, just good companies to own, start to, you know, pick up the slack as well.
I find it appealing also with those value stocks that you're going to get paid, in most cases, a dividend. And if I know the market's going to go sideways or maybe down, and I want to be a long-term investor with a stock fund, getting paid that dividend to sit tight is comforting.
And now's not a bad time to take a look at your ratios of value and growth because, as you know, as Bob mentioned, you're looking at a 10-year run here where growth has had an awfully strong performance. So if you haven't done any rebalancing in that area, so there's a likelihood that your growth sector has grown quite a bit in your portfolio.
I want to spend a few minutes. You're talking about the number one question I'm getting. Bob, are we going into a recession? Hands down, far and away the top question I'm being asked right now. You know, and the difficult answer is we don't know. I mean, recessions are brutally difficult to forecast because what you're talking about is a crisis of confidence. I mean, look at the financial crisis. Housing wasn't that big a piece of the economy, but people panicked when their houses started going down in value. Same thing at Y2K. Tech stocks weren't that big of the economy, 11% at the time. But when WorldCom evaporated, Enron blew up, Sun Microsystems disappeared, people started to panic. And they jammed on the brakes. So it's this crisis of confidence that really gets the economy. So we started off talking about consumer confidence, talk about personal spending. And what drives a whole lot of that is confidence. Do you think you're going to have a job next year? Do you think you're going to get a raise next year? You know, what do your expenses look like? And, you know, the easiest way to create safety for your household is just jam the brakes on spending. But it typically doesn't occur until some type of crisis that we're talking about predicting emotions. But the main point I want to try to get at is, you know, it's so critically important to think longer term as a stock market investor. We all know, in fact, I'm positive of this, that longer term, you're going to make way more in stocks than bonds. And it won't even be close. But what we can't tell you is where the market's going this week, next month, even next year or so. So I find it interesting that everybody, you know, wants to know the answer, are we going to a recession or not? And then, you know, the reality is nobody really knows for sure, because the predicting crisis of confidence is really tricky business. So I think it's so important that people just get past the next couple of years. I mean, I think we can say with certainty that the economy is slowing. I think we can say with certainty that growth is slowing, not only in the United States, but overseas. GDP was 3% last year, going to be about 2% this year, maybe 1% next year. We all know trend line, things are slowing down. But I think it's helpful for clients and for investors in general just to get past the part that we're maybe going to be in recession. I've lived through so many, and I've experienced the recoveries that tend not to take forever, a couple of years, and we're out of the danger zone. And kind of in a blink of an eye, they're over. So I think people need to take it easy, obsessing about whether or not we're going to go into recession, whether or not the trade wars are going to intensify, whether or not the sky's going to clear relative to all the uncertainty about the trade conflicts. And just look past a couple of years, because what I am sure of is that lower rates will help the economy reaccelerate. What I am sure about is that it takes a while, a year or more, for the effects of lower rates to be felt in the system. So if you fast forward all this, rate cuts into next spring, you know, it'll be spring, summer 2021 before they fully kick in. So I'm not really out on a limb suggesting that, you know, towards the end of 2021, a couple of years from now, I think the economy clearly could be reaccelerating. You know, how far are we going to go down? Well, that's anybody's guess at this point in time. But, you know, what we're talking about effectively is just a couple of years from now. Not all that far, and I mean, that's why you own bonds, to tide you over for the short term. Not a great answer. Pretty difficult to call this one. Most recessions are difficult to call. Because of the crisis of confidence that is almost impossible to predict. Well, folks, that's the end of yet another Money Talk. We enjoyed doing the program. Thanks for listening to us. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Bob Landis. If you have a financial question you want answered on next week's show, email it to moneytalk@landis.com. To keep informed throughout the week, visit our Money Talk page at landis.com.